Morning, everyone. You're listening to Mornings with Pastor Adam on the West Coast Bible Teacher Podcast. It is Tuesday, March 19th, and I hope all of you had a wonderful start to your week. I started my week off yesterday, and when I got to work, everything just hit me like a storm. I got to my church, and there were like a million and one things I had to deal with, a couple of them problems, one of them a big problem. And then just a whole other, you know, whole list of other things that I had to do, you know, just part of my responsibilities. But that's just all part of living, isn't it? And working. And traversing this terrain, this terrain of the complicated fallen world that we live in. And sometimes in order to get through the difficult terrain of this fallen world, we look to God for help. We say, Lord, I'm struggling with this thing in my life and I need your assistance. Please, Lord, it's burdening me. You know, it's bringing me down and slowing me down with things I got to do. You know, so just, you know, please help me, Lord. But sometimes, though God heard our prayer, he doesn't always act as fast as we would like him to, right? God has a reason for why he doesn't always act as quickly as we would like. He has three answers to our prayers. Yes, no, and wait. And sometimes the third of these is the hardest for us to deal with, now isn't it? Why do I have to wait if I'm in pain? He knows that I'm going through this trial. He has the ability to end it. Why must he hold back from this deliverance? Well, he has his reasons, and thus we must trust his will, that we wait for his timing. Often the reason why we don't want to wait for his perfect time is because we have fear. Fear that something will happen, or the thing that we're waiting for won't work out. Sometimes God tells us, wait. But we tell God, then, no, God, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait. If I wait, Lord, then this issue I'm dealing with, this particular circumstance, it's going to just blow up and destroy everything in my life. Can't you see that, God? Can't you see? It's fascinating how sometimes we talk to God this way. I've spoken to God like that before in my prayers. When I've been frustrated with him. Oh yes, I've gotten frustrated with God before. Not proud of that. But I've expressed frustration to God before. And we see people within the Bible do the same. Job, Jonah, Moses, David even, the list goes on. Because we're human. And I have at times said to God, Lord, you know, don't you see this? Can't you see that, you know, this is a bad situation that I'm caught up in? But God calls for us to keep the faith and remain faithful to him no matter what's happening in our present circumstance. In fact, often it's a prerogative for us to simply keep on moving forward in faith in order for him to then come in and move in on a particular situation in our lives. But why does God make us wait at times? Well, of course, there are a number of reasons, and it all depends on your situation, because God knows the details and intricate complexities of every circumstance. He knows what's best. But one main reason overall why God often wants us to wait is because He requires of us that we trust in Him. Having us wait for His assistance often forces us to simply put our trust in Him fully. You gotta wait, all right? Now just trust in me. You see, that's what God's telling us. And those who experience many situations to where they are forced to wait on God will come out stronger than many others in their spiritual life, and even in their mental and emotional health, because they have developed a faith-based mindset that produces within them, through God's giving, the peace that surpasses all understanding. But I've had to wait for God many a times, and I found that oftentimes, the reason why God will wait till the last minute before He shows up is because He, one, wants to show us just how powerful and mighty He is, and two, He also wants there to be no doubt about how the situation was resolved. When things seem absolutely dire and hopeless, and you're on your very last, God will show up and fix the situation, and there will be no doubt in your mind then about who it was that showed up and resolved everything. And then you see, going forward after that, you'll have absolutely no excuse to not trust God in other circumstances that you encounter in this life. There are a couple of times indeed in my life, even more than a couple, when I had to simply wait on God's timing. And it wasn't easy. In fact, it was quite painful. But in each situation, God taught me something. Whether it was to learn how to pray fervently for a particular outcome, or simply to read my Bible more and seek Him more in my day-to-day routine. In each of those circumstances that I experienced, I would go back and do it again if I had to, because of how these different times of testing throughout my life further illuminated my understanding of the Christian walk. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, godly people sometimes undergo trials and tribulations. But even the godly can learn from their times of waiting for God. There's always something to learn. You know, we all have room for growth. It don't matter how long you've been walking the Christian walk. And God wants us to truly express a firm faith in Him. He wants you to hold on to that faith, so that He can indeed take you and bring you to the place that He intends for you to be in. Because you see, so many believers miss out on their breakthrough. Why? Because they didn't want to wait for God. They didn't want to wait for His timing. We're talking in a wide variety of different circumstances. The list of examples are pretty much endless. But many believers are currently living lives of despair and depression and brokenness, broken dreams, all because they never developed that habit of waiting for God. Instead, they grumbled and complained whenever they discovered that they had to wait for God. The first generation of Israelites who came out of Egypt started to grumble and complain very early on in the wilderness wandering. God was providing. Sure, they didn't have all the fixings that they wanted, but He was still providing for their needs. He wanted them to be patient. He was refining them. There was a very real spiritual refinement taking place in the wilderness wandering. At least that's what God had intended it to be. But we read in Numbers 11 that the Israelites, they wanted meat. So the Lord provided them with quail to eat. The Lord said, "Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, you know, we were better off in Egypt." The Lord heard that. "Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. But you will not eat it for just one day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?'" You see, be careful what you wish for. We think that we have the brains to instruct God, to direct him in the way that we think is best for our lives. But often when you do that, you end up very sorry. God might finally relent and give you what you're asking for, but it may not have been his original will to begin with. He intended for something much better. And we read that later on, the people were indeed sorry. If only they were just patient. If only they could just have waited to reach the land of Canaan, which would have not taken very long to get there if it weren't for all their complaining and God's subsequent discipline upon that first generation of Israelites. But back to Numbers chapter 11, what happened later on, we read that, "But while the meat was still between their teeth, and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. Therefore, the place was named Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had craved other food." Many commentators believe that the plague was likely a sort of parasite that was within the quail meat. Again, be careful what you wish for, right? Trust God and let him go forward and take the wheel. The drive might take a little bit of time, and there might be bumpy roads, and a traffic jam or two. Might take a little while. But in the end, it will be worth it because you'll reach that perfect destination that he intends for you to reach. That first generation of Israelites, because of their lack of patience and trust in God, their lack of ability to simply wait, to simply bite the bullet and sacrifice some of their own comforts for the sake of waiting for God's perfect timing, it resulted in them losing their opportunity to make it to the promised land. So don't blow your opportunity to make it to the promised land. That abundant life in Christ Jesus that he intends for you to experience on this earth, folks. Even when you're in an anxiety-inducing tribulation, something that's perhaps life and death, even then you got to cling to God and look for his direction. In fact, in that type of serious circumstance, that's all you can do. Some Christians, when they're in serious circumstances, they make rash decisions, decisions that they didn't run by the Lord first, and it costs them a lot. They begin to sink. Jesus told Peter, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" Remember when Peter was walking on water? And he was doing pretty good, but then he started to look around. He saw the waves. And he became irrational. He started to doubt. Even though Jesus was right there, right straight ahead of him. You see, don't worry about how heavy the waves are in the sea. Because if we look to Jesus, we'll be able to walk on water. Peter should have kept his eyes just fixated on Jesus, you know, as he was walking towards him. It would take a little bit of time to reach him. But that's where patience comes in. And if we have that faith, if we learn to exercise that fruit of the Holy Spirit, that of patience. If we allow the Spirit to come in and move and produce within us that attribute of patience, then one day we'll be able to sing that song of praise that David sang. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. So I would encourage you this morning and for the rest of the week to wait on the Lord, to wait for His perfect timing. Pray that God gives you the strength and the ability to persevere. But don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. And don't make any rash decisions that can hinder that breakthrough that you've been praying for. Be patient and wait on God. His timing is perfect. And so this has been Mornings with Pastor Adam, everyone. God bless you. And I will talk to all of you very soon.